So how were Gentiles saved before the cross? That's what we're going to talk about on today's interesting episode of Grace in Focus. I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, I'd like to tell you about our National Bible Conference before we go on. It is a once-a-year event, and it's happening in Coppell, Texas. It's beginning next Monday, the 26th of October. You can find out more about this and other events by going to faithalone.org. We certainly hope to see you there. Let's jump right into today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we're taking your questions today. Send them to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. For example, Rick writes to ask, would you please give me a free grace perspective on how Gentiles were saved before the cross? All right, so how were Gentiles saved before the cross?
Well, you know how you catch a unique rabbit?
Unique up on it.
And you know how you catch a tame rabbit?
The tame way.
The tame way. So, you know how Gentiles were saved before the cross? The tame way is Jews. Was that a good one?
Yeah, that was. Okay. I guess we could keep that in. Yeah.
I don't know.
That's our level of joking around. There is a verse that says, didn't Paul say the Old Testament foresaw that the Gentiles would be justified by faith?
Yeah.
And that seems like he's saying this was like a future possibility for the Gentiles.
Right. In Galatians 3:8, Paul cites Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, and he says, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Well, notice what Paul is saying here is that Jews and Gentiles before the cross were both justified by faith.
Really, how is this verse saying that they're already being justified
by
faith? Okay,
well, in verses 6 through 14 of Galatians 3, I believe the words faith and believe occur close to 10 times.
Uh-huh.
For example, if you just look in verses 8 and 9, he would justify the Gentiles by faith. And then he said those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. That's three uses of faith and believe in just those two verses, verses 8 and 9.
Sure, but it's foreseeing, right? It's like almost as if Paul was saying it's not happening now, but it will happen.
Well, yes, ultimately, let's go back to Genesis 12:3 then. You see, because it seems to me what it's saying is, yes, it's future, but the future is because of the future progress of both the Jews and the Gentiles. In other words, it was still by faith then, but it was going to continue to be by faith as God fulfilled his promise that Abraham would have a great nation coming from him. Would you read 12:3, Genesis?
I will bless those who bless you, and I'll curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So it's kind of like they're not being blessed now, though.
Right, but the you refers, I have a note here in my Bible that you there refers to Messiah.
Mm.
It's in Abraham, but when you go to Genesis 15:1-6, Abraham was the source of this blessing because he was going to be the father of the line that led to Messiah.
Right.
And so as a result, the Messiah will be the one who blesses all the families of the earth. So the reason it's future is because Messiah was yet future, but that was still in Genesis 15:6 how Abraham was justified.
Mm.
Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And of course, Paul cites that in Galatians 3 and verse 6, just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So I think the point is that God was telling Abraham that with the coming of the future Messiah, both Jews and Gentiles would be blessed through the line of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah. Through that line was going to come Messiah. And, of course, the blessing goes backwards because, of course, God counts the death of Messiah both forwards and backwards. So that before the cross, people were born again and justified the same way after the cross. This is one of the things that bugs me, Sean, is there's so many people in evangelicalism that have a different way of salvation, regeneration, justification before the cross. So they'll have some sort of work salvation, obeying the commandments, animal sacrifices, whatever it is,
right,
before the cross. Well, then that leads them to some sort of work salvation, lordship salvation after the cross.
Mm.
But it's always been, and it always will be, by grace, through faith, apart from works.
Because if you're going to be saved by works, hypothetically, you'd have to be perfect.
Right.
And people before the cross were not any more perfect than we are after the cross.
Right. And if you argue that people before the cross were somehow able to be saved apart from faith in Messiah, well, then why couldn't people be saved that way today? In fact, I know someone I know, a pastor of a large church, believes that people can be saved apart from faith in Messiah if they've never heard about Jesus. And, of course, that's the official position of the Roman Catholic Church.
Right. You can have implicit faith.
I think that's what they call it.
Something Karl Rahner called an anonymous Christian. Okay. And C.S. Lewis kind of taught the same thing in the Chronicles of Narnia. In one of the books, I forget which one it is, but there's a soldier who worships a false god, Tash or something like that. But then Aslan accepts him because he says in this story, Aslan, who represents Jesus, accepts him and says, well, basically he says, all of your honest kind of worship of this foreign god, you did in ignorance. And so I count it as worship to me because you would have worshipped me if you would have known.
That's a pretty common view
right.
in evangelicalism today, is a lot of people think, I mean, they almost have a near universalist position. Not quite, because they're going to say you have to worship something.
Right.
If you're an atheist or an agnostic, I guess they'd say you won't make it. But pretty much everybody else, as long as they're, you know, sincere within their worship of Buddha or Allah or their worship of Mother Earth, if they're worshiping the creation,
right.
I guess they're saying, well, you know, it's misguided, but the Lord's not going to count that against me.
Right. And I guess what they're wrestling with, I mean, it's a hard question because even in Genesis 15, I mean, it's not super clear that this is the Messiah and that if you believe in the Messiah, you get eternal life. It's very figurative language and, you know, you're going to get a blessing. I mean, is that really, if you read that, would you consider that clear evangelism? If you went to someone and said, hey, if you believe that Abraham's going to get a blessing, then you're eternally saved? I think you would say, no, that's not really enough.
Well, in my view, now there are people who believe that Abraham was born again in Genesis 12:3.
Right.
And that Genesis 15:6 looks back to Genesis 12:3. They call it a vav disjunctive to start Genesis 15:6. And they say, that looks back. I don't think so. I think the point is that the promise of justification of Gentiles was implicit in Genesis 12:3, but Abraham didn't get it. But Abraham did believe that God was going to bless him, and so he left, and he went to the promised land, and then when he meets with the Lord in Genesis 15:6, he comes to faith. But in answer to your question, it would be difficult just reading the Old Testament to get out of Genesis 15:6 justification by faith in Messiah apart from anything. But when you have verses like John 8:56, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, it seems to me that has to refer to some event in the life of Abraham, and Genesis 15:6 would likely be the one.
But even see my day, that's vague. We'd say that's not clear evangelism.
Right, but then you have Paul in Romans 4:1-6, and also in Galatians 3:6-14, citing Genesis 15 as proof that justification is by faith in Messiah apart from works. So therefore, unless Paul is getting it wrong, Paul is validating that understanding of Genesis 15:6. But here's another point where your discussion is really helpful. We err if we think that people before the cross only had the Old Testament to go on. They had special revelation outside the Old Testament called the preaching prophets. Mm. And they had prophets that were proclaiming Messiah.
Yeah.
One of the ways we know this is Jeremiah 31.
Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
Now notice verse 34.
No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord.
What we're told here is that Israelites were telling other Israelites, Know the Lord. We don't see that anywhere in the Old Testament. But it seems to me what you have here is a statement that there's a day coming when everyone will know the Lord. That has to refer to more than simply saying they know the name of Yahweh.
What would it mean in this context? Would it mean anything more than what was already going on?
Well, it says I'm going to write my law in their minds and then on their hearts.
Right.
And they're everyone's going to know the Lord.
Right.
And so it seems to me knowing the Lord there refers to having everlasting life and having an eternal relationship with Him, knowing Him in my experience and in my position. So if that's the case, people were going around proclaiming this, and I would say the prophets were prime candidates for this, other people as well. But ultimately, we have to go to the New Testament in order to tell us how Old Testament people were born again. So the answer to the question, how were Gentiles justified or born again before the cross, it's by faith in Messiah apart from works. There's never been another way. The Old Testament was clear Messiah was going to die. Genesis 3:15, Isaiah 52, and Isaiah 53, and Psalm 22, that He had to die to atone for our sins so that by believing in Him, we would have an eternal relationship with Him, everlasting life. And so that's good news. That's the good news of Genesis 12:3 that Paul speaks about in Galatians 3:8.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to learn more from Dr. Bob and Sean and the other guests that we have on this show? If so, you can do exactly that by going to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. It's packed with all kinds of materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. A great example is our daily blog posts. You can get signed up for free, and every day a new post will show up in your inbox. Go to faithalone.org. This radio show is made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. If you'd like to become a financial partner with this show, you can go to faithalone.org and find out exactly how to do just that. Do you have a question for Sean or Bob? I know that I've often had questions for them. If you do, I want to give you our email address so that you can reach out to us to ask that burning question. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about the fact that belief is not a choice. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.